I'm Lisa Mullins, and this is The World. Indonesia has the largest Muslim population on the planet, but not all Indonesians follow the same religious beliefs. The country has several religious minorities, including a number of small Islamic sects. One of those sects is at the center of a religious controversy right now. The country's president, Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono, or SBY, is considering banning the group. As Rebecca Henschke reports from West Java, the controversy has sparked violence.
Five men face Mecca and pray in a small white room in the hillside village of Sukabumi in West Java. Standing guard outside are dozens of police. The men praying are from the Indonesian Ahmadiyya community, which has around 200,000 members. Gunawan is one of them.
Dihantui oleh rasa was-was, rasa takut.
We are haunted by the fear that once the police leave, they'll attack us again. The police can't protect us all the time.
You don't need to go far from here to understand why they're scared. In the mosque across the road, a woman surrounded by her children says the Ahmadiyya sect should be disbanded. She says its members are offensive and shouldn't be tolerated. Sentiments like this prompted a mob to burn down an Ahmadiyya mosque in this village late last month.
What's left of the mosque is a concrete shell. The corrugated iron roof is in bits and pieces around. The wooden walls and windows have been burnt out. The smell of burning wood and paper is still in the air. Over to the right is the classroom, the madrasa for the Ahmadiyya children. Just come into one of the classrooms and there's a drawing that a child's made of Arabic words from the Quran just on the ground in amongst glass and bits of smashed rock. It's glass everywhere on the ground.
Sekarang sudah di luar.
The local police are questioning 12 people, including the village chief, for this act of vandalism. Just down the hill, not far from the burnt-out mosque, a sign hangs on the Aktawa Mosque that reads, Ahmadiyya, return to Islam. Imam Utsat Omar says people have lived in harmony with the Ahmadiyya community for generations, but he condemns their views. They're some of my best friends, he says, but they must give up their heretic beliefs. And he stresses we cannot tolerate people saying there's a prophet after Muhammad. The Ahmadiyya sect was founded in India in the late 1800s by Mirza Ghulam Ahmad, who claimed to be the Mahdi, a figure expected by some Muslims at the end of the world. This puts the sect well outside of mainstream Muslim belief that Muhammad is the one and only prophet. The sect is outlawed in Pakistan, and now the Indonesian president is facing intense pressure to do the same. This recent protest in the capital, Jakarta, was led by the country's Council of Ulamas. A crowd of thousands of white-clad women, children and men chant, Outlaw Ahmadiyya! If the president does not outlaw them, we will overrun the presidential palace, shouts the speaker. A man named Yanto, an Ahmadiyya believer, watched the protest in horror.
I don't know how to express how afraid I am, because they want us to be killed.
Are you afraid that you might be killed?
Of course, because I heard it with my own ears that they said that Ahmadi blood is halal.
The Indonesian Council of Ulamas and the State Religious Advisory Board ruled that the sect has deviated from Islamic principles and should be outlawed. Many now fear that religious freedom enshrined in the Indonesian constitution is under threat. Lutfi Asalkani, coordinator of JIL, a network of liberal Muslim scholars, is among them.
Once the radicals or the conservatives take over part of the government policy, it's very dangerous for our freedom and democracy in general. If we silence all this happening, it will be dangerous for our freedom.
Indonesia's two largest Muslim organizations oppose calls to ban Ahmadiyya. Meanwhile, the country's large Christian and Hindu communities are watching nervously to see what the president will do, many fearing their rights will be the next to go. This debate goes to the heart of a wider struggle for the future of Islam in Indonesia. Under the Suharto New Order regime, the secular constitution was strongly enforced and Islamic groups were suppressed by the military. But over the last 10 years, a hardline Muslim fringe has been pressuring the government. Indonesian President SBY is facing pressure from his own cabinet and from the nation's Council of Ulamas, or MUE, to ban the sect. Lutfi of Jill says the president is caught in a political game ahead of the 2009 presidential election.
As we know, President SBY is quite indecisive in many matters. And he is very concerned with his image, and he tried to gain support from religious groups. And MUE is still considered as the center for Muslim. So he thinks that he can use MUE to gain support from Muslims.
Many in the West often hail Indonesia as an example of a Muslim nation with a successful democracy that respects religious diversity. But best-selling Muslim author Ishat Maji, who's travelling across Indonesia, is worried by what she sees.
When I see a country like Indonesia, whose history is so steeped in coexistence and religious diversity, now turning to the banning of sex because they somehow offend the sensibilities of more hardline Muslims, this really does worry me. It suggests, you know, that Indonesia is losing its own identity as a pluralistic nation and beginning to fall for the more tribal influences that are coming from places like Saudi Arabia. Indonesia is not alone. But I truly believe that it is a source of new leadership within the Muslim world. And Indonesia is not yet living up to its potential to assert a much more pluralistic form of leadership. This, to me, is a great tragedy.
Back in Sukabumi village, Ahmadiyya children recite the Quran in front of their burnt-out mosque.
Karena sekolahnya itu hancur.
This child says, "We were very scared and sad the night our mosque was destroyed. Now we have nowhere to learn." But they're too young to understand why. For The World, this is Rebecca Henschke in West Java.